Judges of the United States Court of Appeals in and for the 7th Judicial Circuit. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons having business before this honorable court are admonished to draw near and give their attention. As this court is now sitting, God save the United States and this honorable court.
A very good morning to everyone. The first case on this morning's call is number 02-1648, the United States against William A. Parks. Mr. Marsh.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Warden, may it please the court. I'm Bill Marsh. I represent the appellant, Mr. Parks. Mr. Parks was charged with and pled guilty to an offense in the Southern District of Indiana, which under the guidelines carried an offense level of 14 to 17, and he was a criminal history category 6. But for the fact that he qualified as a career offender under 4B1.1, which provided that he was automatically a criminal history category 6. At the sentencing hearing, Mr. Parks' attorney asked the court for a downward departure on the grounds that this criminal history categorization of 6 overstated his likelihood of being a recidivist. The court declined that. I suggest that the record reflects, Your Honor, that the court was of the view that a criminal history category 6 was automatic in all cases under 4B1.1, and therefore the court did not have the authority to grant the downward departure. This court, of course, in the cases which I've cited in the brief, has held to the contrary, a downward departure on the basis that criminal history category overrepresents the likelihood of recidivism is possible even in a 4B1.1 career offender criminal history.
Mr. Marsh, where is the support for your argument that the district court misunderstood its discretion to depart downward? I'm just not sure how much more explicit a judge can get than Judge McKinney was here. He so clearly went through how he had arrived at the sentence.
Your Honor, of course, the paragraph, it's one short paragraph, which begins on page 17 of the transcript and concludes on page 18, in which he explains how he went through the sentence. And the way I suggest the court should read that language is Judge McKinney, first of all, says, there are two crimes of violence. There's a Class A robbery and there's a bank robbery. And then he says qualifies under the guidelines. I'm not sure what that means. And then he says it's right there under the application of the guidelines. That's where we are. You're a Category 6. Those words, I suggest that the court should be read as saying he looked at the fact that there was a Class A robbery and the fact that there was a bank robbery, and under the guidelines that qualified as a criminal history category 6.
You haven't looked at the sentences above those sentences where the judge says, as I look through the guideline, they very clearly point us from paragraph 13 through 16, no matter what the nature of the injury to the officer was, etc., etc.
Well, and then afterwards, having arrived at the 6, and I actually maybe didn't understand your argument. I thought you were saying that once you apply the career offender guideline, you think Judge McKinney was under the misapprehension that he lacked legal authority to depart downward.
That is my position.
Okay. Well, the reason I have trouble seeing it that way is his next paragraph, after the one you quoted, is the place where he goes on to say, I think this is an appropriate guideline. He's thinking about whether this is where he wants to stay, or at least it seems to me that's what the point of this comment would be. Everything just found you're being a Category 6 is not an overstatement or overrepresentation of your history. Why would he bother to say that if it was automatic?
In that paragraph, I suggest, Your Honor, the district court judge, in that same sentence is referring to a 5K2.1 departure, which defense counsel had also asked for, and the very next paragraph talks about 5K2.10. I suggest that that doesn't clarify the previous paragraph, which was the one where he was talking about criminal history, which he said, because you have two bank robberies, you're a 6, period. End of analysis. that's the way I'm going to sentence you.
Well, now, he is a six. The only question is, does he now have discretion to depart downward in terms of the number of months, right?
Yes, exactly. And I suggest that the court should read that language as if the court concluded he did not have the discretion to depart downward. My alternative position, Your Honor, as I set forth in the brief, is that if the court concludes that this language is ambiguous, then the court should remand the case to the district court for clarification, which would come through a resentencing. And the reason for that is I would suggest that this court and Mr. Parks are entitled to a level of confidence that the judge was properly applying the guidelines. And I suggest you just can't find that level of confidence in this brief explanation of why he sentenced Mr. Parks as he did. If ambiguous language results in an affirmance, then there's the prospect that the judge actually was saying what I am suggesting he was saying, in which case Mr. Parks was not properly sentenced. On the other hand, if the judge was treating it as if he did have the authority for a downward departure but he was not going to do it, then a remand that will simply give him an opportunity to clarify that. And this is a case, I suggest, in which this court could make it clear to the district court judges that it's in their interest, in the interest of time and efficiency, to make it very clear on the record at the time of the sentencing hearing whether the court finds that it has the authority to grant the downward departure or doesn't. You just can't find, I suggest, that level of confidence in this record. So for those reasons, Your Honors, I would ask the court to vacate the sentence, remand to the court the case to the district court for new sentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. We'll hear now from Mr. Warden.
Good morning. May I please the court? My name is James Warden. I represent the government here today, as I did before the district court. The situation is simply this. The appellant is really complaining because he was unsuccessful in convincing the district court to grant the downward departure based upon his argument that the career offender guideline overstated his true criminal history. And of course, if there were not some legal error in coming to that determination, this court would not have jurisdiction to even hear this. And so the appellant had to create this issue in order for us to be here today. The government agrees with Judge Rovner's comments that the record is absolutely clear that that's not the case. There is no basis in this record at all to conclude that the district judge felt he was confined in any way. And in fact, there are comments that have already been referenced by Judge Wood and by Judge Rovner in regard to that. And specifically, Mr. Marsh did leave out some of the comments that dealt directly on the motion for the departure on the career offender status. On page 18 of the transcript, focusing directly on that issue, Judge McKinney says, "So I can't say that that overstates your history." He has focused on that issue, and it shows that he is making an analysis. There's absolutely nothing in the record in which it can be in any way concluded that the judge felt he was confined. The government didn't argue to the court, "Well, Judge, this might be a great argument, but you're precluded," or "The judge never said this is a great argument, but I'm precluded." The record is very clear. So the government's position here is that there is no error. There's no basis to remand this case. It isn't necessary. Mr. Marsh asked for some certainty in the record, but that does not avail us if there's no uncertainty in the record now, and there is none. And so because of that, Your Honors, the government asked that you affirm the conviction. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh. Mr. Warden, have any remaining time? 3 minutes. Well, thank you to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.